Well, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We have been reading in chapter 8, and we've been talking about how the Lord gave Moses instructions to set apart, to consecrate, to anoint Aaron as high priest and his sons. And if you'll remember, we looked at verse 2 of Psalm 133, and I want to go back there. Because as a member of the body of Christ, each one of us is anointed. Let's take a look at that verse 2. And Pete quoted it. I'm going to start with the first verse. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. How beautiful that is. It is like the precious ointment. They use the word ointment, but if you look up the word, you'll see that it's like the oil upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Now, do you have a visual of that? I don't think it's any mistake at all that the Lord had this documented so that we could have this imagery of this anointing the head and touching the rest of the body, if you will. Now, Pete told you how the Lord had spoken to him from Luke 4:18. So go with me there and let's just look at that, because what I'm hoping that we're going to see is we're going to see this parallel of Aaron being anointed to Jesus being anointed and how it affects the body. Jesus said, reading from Isaiah, was it Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2? Check me out. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus because he's been anointed. To do what? Preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. And recovery of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus declared this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I have been anointed. I have been set apart for this particular ministry. Now, I take you back to that second verse in Psalm 133. The head was anointed, but that anointing oil affected the whole body. Jesus, our head, has been anointed, but so was his entire body. Do you and I make up the body of Christ? When we accept Jesus, when we are baptized into the Holy Spirit, we too are set apart. Here's why I want you to see this. It's because my heart's cry is that you will understand how valuable you are to the Lord and who you are. So many times we look at people and we look at ministry, and Pete's addressed this, but I'm guilty of this. He says, no big eyes, no little U's. But I spent a great deal of my life being a little U. That I had put that upon myself. I was a little U. Well, you're not a little U, you understand. You're great big in the sight of God, in the sight of Jesus. And so, we all have different functions. We're set apart for different things. But you too are anointed. The Spirit of God is upon you when you accept the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized into the Holy Spirit. You too are set apart for a peculiar work. And if you're wondering what some of it is, just go back and look at Luke 4:18 and 19. Now, we mentioned that this begins with an invitation, right? And we're going to talk about this, and I'm going to turn this over to Pete in just a minute. But you remember way back when Moses had been up on the Mount Sinai, and he came down and they'd built that golden calf. Verse broke the tablets? Who's on the Lord's side? Who accepted the invitation? The Levites did. At that moment, because they accepted that invitation, they were set apart, weren't they? You think about when you accept the invitation. All of us have to accept an invitation. Moses himself had to accept the invitation at the burning bush. He fought it, but he eventually had to submit and accept that invitation. And even Aaron. The Lord told Moses right there, you're going to see your brother coming. Tell him to go with you. He had to accept that invitation, you understand. And so, to me, this is all pointing towards what we experience as a new covenant believer.
And if you think about it, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So what are you anointed to do? You're anointed to go about doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are oppressed with the devil, then you bring deliverance to that. And, you know, and here again, I'm not talking about acting presumptuously. I'm talking about hearing the Spirit of God
right.
And acting by the Spirit of God, following the Holy Spirit. And so everyone who is born into the body of Christ, what sets you apart? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit sets you apart. This afternoon, Heather asked me a question. She said, let me see if I can get it right.
Is this a true statement? The body of Christ is anointed, set apart to be the bride of Christ.
To be the body. Is the body of Christ anointed to be the body of Christ?
To be the bride of Christ.
I thought you said the body.
No, bride.
See, I misunderstood you all the way around then. Okay. But here's the thing. If you go back to the word, the body of Christ is the church, capital C, not local, capital C, okay? And if you do a word study on that Greek word, church, ekklesia, you'll find that, by definition, it's a calling out. And it's a select group of people being called out of the mass of people. For instance, the Sanhedrin was a select group of people called out from the people. And so God is calling out to the masses those who respond to him. Now, there has to be a positive response, okay? Then those who are separated, do you get this? They're distinctly different from the others. Now, let me give you an Old Testament example of this. Back when Israel was sinning, the Midianites, and they were bringing, you know, all the gods and affairs and all with the Moabites and or Midianites, whatever. And Phinehas actually stops the plague by killing the man and the woman.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
And God said because he did that, he would establish the priesthood through Phinehas, who was the grandson of Aaron. Okay? Then Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? The whole nation of Israel. But only one tribe responded. The invitation's out. But only the tribe of Levi responded to that. Consequently, the tribe of Levi was set apart to minister for the Lord. Then out of the tribe of Levi, you had Kohath, Merari, and Gershon, okay? out of the Kohathites, Aaron, Moses, being brothers, were selected by God. They're set apart. God sets Moses apart to be the leader of the nation. God sets Aaron apart to be the high priest of the worship. Now, here's an interesting thing. Heather mentioned about Moses being on the mount, coming down and breaking the stones. Moses had left Aaron in charge.
Yeah.
Now, this is before the tabernacle was constructed and all this, okay? Aaron let the people influence him in making the golden calf. Do you know that didn't disqualify him from God setting him apart to be the high priest? It just shows you the mercy of God. People say, well, you know, I've done this in my past, I've done that and all that, and I don't believe God can use me. Well, God could use Aaron. How many of you know that Moses murdered a man? But yet God chose him. Now, he did a work on him. He had to do a work with Aaron, you understand. And God has to do a work with us. You with me? That goes back to the washing, the cleansing, and all this type thing. But what it does, it sets us apart. Now, you think of being a Christian. It sets you apart from all the other pagan religions. They may follow Buddha, they may follow Allah, you know, the Hinduism, Confucian, whatever. That's who they follow. But when we say we're Christian, that sets us apart from all these other religions. But then, out of Christian, there are people called out to be the body of Christ. You with me? Not every Christian, not everyone that's professing Christian is a member of the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, many professing Christians have never been born again. They're just Christian, not whatever. Now, you know, when I went in the military, when you go into basic training, they're stamping your dog tags and all that. You have to tell them religion. What religion are you? Well, I just said, you know, I said Protestant. That means I protest anything else, right? And some had Catholic on their dog tag. You do understand that's what Protestant means, right? It's
yeah.
A protesting
yeah.
of the Catholic, right? You identify yourself. So that sets you apart. Then there was, you know, guys that were Jews. And I thought about proselyting over because they got holidays I didn't get. I was a Protestant heathen, okay? But it sets you apart. That's the point I'm trying to make. It set you apart. This guy's a Jew. This guy's a Protestant. This guy's a Catholic. It sets you apart. Now, when you're anointed by the Holy Spirit, now you're set apart not as a Christian. You're set apart as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're to be holy. You're to be distinctly different. We're to be holy like God's holy. There's no God like our God. There's no Bible like our Bible. Holy God. Holy Bible. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Even though school is ghost. Okay. What makes it holy? What makes God holy? What makes the Spirit holy? What makes the Bible holy? There's nothing like it. Distinctly different. And God's looking for a holy people. Distinctly different. Aaron in his high priest attire is holy before the Lord. You go in with holiness to the Lord.
Mm.
You understand? When he went in, that's saying he's holy to the Lord. He's set apart to the Lord. And when we're born again full of the Spirit of God, then we are set apart to be holy to the Lord. You're anointed. Right? You're anointed. Now, there are specific anointings. For instance, there's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They are gifted people. God set those people apart for a particular purpose. Then you have body ministry gifts that God has set apart for a particular purpose. And so we have different functions, but that doesn't mean you haven't been anointed. You're anointed for that function. That little finger is anointed for a function. It's set apart in this body for a particular function. It doesn't do what my thumb does. But I don't want to do without it. You with me? And it's the same way with every member of the body of Christ. We need one another. How pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, to come together as one, unified. But yet in church settings, people bickering, fighting, fussing, jealous and resentful. That's not the body of Christ. That's not holy to the Lord. We're called to be holy to the Lord. We're called to be separated to the Lord. And so, whatever God has gifted, however God's gifted you and called you, then that's your anointing. But all of us need to be inspired to fulfill that anointing in a way that's pleasing to God. I go back to King Saul. He didn't lose his anointing. What did he lose? The inspiration. He lost the Spirit of God. That's why you see the psalmist, I believe it's David, saying, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." He didn't say, "Don't take your anointing from me." He said, "Don't take the inspiration from me. Don't leave me here to do this job without you inspiring me to do it." I would not want to minister without the inspiration of God. You understand? I am not that smart. Some people think they are. They think they can go to the college and they can learn to preach and they can learn to teach and they can learn to do that. But are you representing God? Mm-hmm. Would God say you're holy to the Lord? This is what we're talking about with anointing, to where you are set apart by God. Men can ordain you, but unless God ordains you, you have no more power than the organization that ordained you. You follow me? I was threatened one time with, because I was in a denomination at that time, and I would preach in any denomination. It didn't matter to me. I mean, you know, the Word of God is to all the world, right? And a person in that organization, another minister in that organization, came to me and he said, "You know, I could get your credentials pulled. Your ordination." And I said, and I'll be vague with this, and I'll say organization. I say, the organization didn't ordain me, God did. All they did was just went through a ceremony. So you pull the credentials, you can't pull my ordination. Is that bullheaded? No, that's confidence in God did it. You understand? And it didn't happen, I can tell you that. And it wouldn't have mattered because if God ordained you, you're ordained. I don't care if 100 people laid their hands on you. If God didn't do it, you're not ordained to represent God. The other's just representing the organization. And so we're cautious with laying our hands on people. And when we do, we want to do it by the inspiration of God. Then God set the person apart, not Pete, not some organization. God did it. And we want you to always be confident that God has set me apart. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I'm going to please God. I'm going to do my best to follow the Spirit of God. And God hasn't disqualified me. And so I'm not going to concern myself with people. Does all that make sense to you? Okay, you're getting the feel for what anointing is and how important you are to as a member of the body of Christ. You're just as important to God as I am. There, you know, I've said it often, there's no big I's and little U's in the body of Christ. There's different functions. It's just different functions. I need you. You may need me. You with me? The truth is, we need one another. All my body members, we all need one another. Because then we can effectively get a job done. But if they start fighting one another, it hinders the work of God. And that's what's been going on for years in the church world. Is instead of uniting and working together with people of like faith, and I'm talking about faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the Spirit of the living God, and I can't overemphasize the importance of being full of the Spirit of God so you can walk according to the Spirit of God. And if you're full of God, then the fruit of the Spirit in you. And so if God loves you, why wouldn't I? If God's joyful, why wouldn't I be joyful? Yeah. If God's at peace, why wouldn't I be at peace? You see, we let circumstances deceive us into thinking this, that, or the other. You have to know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And who Jesus Christ is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. That anointing oil was poured on Aaron. But when you're anointed by the Holy Spirit, He's inside you. You understand? You're set apart from the inside. You follow me?
Yeah.
Extremely important that we understand that. You want to say some things to that? Or
no, sir.
Did we cover the
yes, sir.
The stuff that you and I were talking about?
We did.
Okay. I want you to understand anointing. I've been told I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm just going to tell you, read the Bible on anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Anoint, anointed, anointist.
Anointist.
You read everything, anointing. You read everything in the Bible on that, and you tell me if that did not set a person apart. The prophet would anoint the king and set him apart. David told Nathan and Zadok the priest to anoint Solomon to be the king. Samuel anointed David. He anointed Saul. You with me? Just understand how this thing works. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit, not by organizations. Consequently, we're to follow the Holy Spirit. Like Moses heard God, he did what God said. We need to hear God and do what God says. Then you have the inspiration yoked with the anointing, and it's powerful. Okay?
It really is. We're under a better covenant. And as Pete was just mentioning about the Holy Spirit, we're anointed on the inside, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that it's not just this physical body, so to speak? Because when we stand before the Lord, this physical body is not going to be there. We're the spiritual being, and we need our spirit man set apart, don't we?
You know, back many years ago, when the Lord just opened this up to me with anointing and impartation and separation, and he told me, he said, I'm going to use you in that area. You'll know when to impart. It won't be everybody. From the time he told me that, I think I can count it all on, I know I can count it on less than two hands. But boy, when he said it, there is an assurance in there, and I know that I know that the power of God is getting ready to go into that person. I know that. But I don't select them. And I've had people to get upset with me because I didn't say something over them. Well, if God doesn't say it, what am I going to do? It's just a man's word then. It's nothing to do with God. And you're not going to receive any power to go with it. But when God says it, and God sets you there, then he empowers you. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good. Okay? You follow all that? You're important. You're important to God.
Yeah.
Now, you say, well, why has he not called me out? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you clean? Are you properly attired? Do you have everything in place exactly like God wants it? Get it in place. And then we'll see what the Lord does.
That's great. Isn't this exciting? This is a living word. Did y'all see all this coming with Leviticus? Did you see it? It's a good word. I thank the Lord for Leviticus.
Actually, some of you have seen this take place in this classroom, where the Spirit of God just interrupted the teaching with instruction and designated and called out, set apart, and named. It's real. It still happens. But it's not for people who are seeking it. It's people who are pursuing God. You seek God, not position. You seek God. I want to know him. You fellowship with him. You could care less about possession. Position means nothing to me. I want to know him. And I just, all I want to be is in a place where I can do what God said to do. It doesn't matter where it is. You with me? Just have that, get that heart to God. I just want to do what you want me to do. You understand? I'll let you tell me. I've been telling you. Now I'll let you tell me. So many people are telling God what they want to do. No, be still. Let God tell you what he wants you to do. And then do like Isaiah, hear my send me. I'll volunteer. But you better be certain that you count the cost and stay committed. Don't tell God, use me, and then you don't follow through with it. It takes commitment. That's why I believe there's been very few over the years, because the lack of commitment to the Lord. Ministry is full-time. When I say full-time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, or 66 if it's leap year. You understand? Then you don't retire from it. That's the last thing on my mind. I wouldn't even think about retiring from ministry. Why would you retire from the call of God? Why would I want to retire from what I love to do? Doesn't make sense, does it?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And for those that have ever watched me or seen me minister, if I've ministered to you, I may preface it with saying, now when I lay my hands on you, power of God is going to be there. The reason I can say that is because God assured me that it would be. I would be the most shocked person in the building if it didn't happen. Because God doesn't lie. You with me? And we're not trying to impress anybody. We just want to obey the Lord. Okay?
Yes, sir. Very good.
You know where we are?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We're right here. I'm going to read verse
13.
And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses.
So here he's doing with Aaron's sons like he did with Aaron. Aaron set apart as high priest. They're not set apart as high priest. They're set apart as priest. That means they offer sacrifices. They can't go into the Holy of Holies. And there are certain things that only the high priest can do. But the daily sacrifices and this type thing, then the priest, Aaron's sons, are doing it. The Levites can assist them, but they can't sacrifice. God's made a distinction. It's not the same anointing. You follow me? And so they're set apart to offer sacrifices to God. But notice, they had to be clean. They had to be properly attired and all this type stuff. You know, these Old Testament acts of anointing, I believe, give tremendous insight into understanding New Testament anointing. The definition of anointing, as we said earlier, you can't understand anointing by just looking at a word definition. You have to see it done. You have to see it in action. The effect of the anointing, you understand. What did pouring the oil on Aaron do? It's not just the pouring of the oil. What did that accomplish? It set him apart. It set him apart. I dare say most people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit do not know that they are set apart to God. Because they've never been taught that.
Yeah.
But that's how God sets you apart. That makes you different. And people may call you weird. And people may laugh at you. And all, oh, you're one of those, you know. I've had that said to me, are you one of those? I said, one of those what? You know, no. You won't put my feet to the fire, I won't put yours to the fire. One of those what? You know, you speak in tongues? Of course I speak in tongues. You're not ashamed of it. I thank God for the ability to build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And if you don't, you're not building yourself up. So that tells me something about you. Right? So I'm not the weird one. Okay.
But to walk in the anointing, you have to recognize the anointing. And that sounds really basic and like, duh, of course. But what we just talked about here, there are many people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and don't even recognize that they are anointed, don't realize because they've never been told. And so we need to have that understanding. Got it. Thank you.
So, like I said, Kinsey, are you anointed? You're absolutely sure?
Yes.
Okay. You need to be that confident. Yeah. I'm anointed. How you? God filled me with the Spirit of God. God spoke into my life. What are you anointed to do? Obey God. Serve God. You don't have to give a job description.
Right.
You're anointed to serve.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Our time's up, so okay. We'll stop right there.
Very good.
Thank you that you bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. And you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Don't you let anyone intimidate you and make you think you're lesser than. If the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you're not lesser than anything. The Great One indwells you. Amen.
That includes your own thinking.